Shir continues to be for Yifru Shleima for Yehuda Aryeh Ben Hadassa Idol.
And
Le'ili Nishmas.
Esther Rivka.
Bas Yishayahu. And also for Yifru Shleima for Miriam Bat Victoria. Okay, welcome back from Pesach. And we now move on to Parshas Achrei Mos, and where we talk about the service of Yom Kippur. So a little bit, we have Yom Kippur in the spring, or almost the summer. But I think it actually will talk to us a little bit about the Pesach that we just passed as well. So let's take a look, if you want to open your Chumash, let's take a look at the Parsha. And I especially want you, if you're going to have a chumash in front of you, because we're going to be doing something with Rachel and Leah. V'yidabar Hashem al-Maisha achrei Maishnei b'nei Aaron, karvasim v'nei Hashem v'yamusim. And it was after the death of the Shnei b'nei Aaron, v'yayimar Hashem al-Maisha dabar al-Aaron achicha, speak to Aaron, your brother, v'yayavah b'chal eis al-Akaidish, v'yibes l'praichas l'pnei ha-kapayrish, shal al-Aaron, v'yayamas k'vi adon er al-Kapayrish. B'zayis yavah Aaron al-Akaidish, and he gives the whole thing. How should he be dressed? So the Pasuk tells us, and this is on Yom Kippur, Ksainas bad kaidish yilbosh, he wears garments of linen. He wears pants of linen, and a cap of linen, mitznefes bad yiftnaif. He's wearing the mitznefes on top, the avnik, the gartel, everything is going to be made. It's very special. It's all going to be made of linen. And the Chazal tell us that Ksainas bad kaidish shabig day halav and shakayin hagol and nichtes ben lifnai lifnim. He had special garments that, and he goes lifnai lifnim, the one time of the year. He's going to be going into the kaidish hagadoshim. This is what he's going to wear. He says, hey, the dugma that he's wearing is a dugma, is an example. It mirrors, emulates the big day begodim that are worn by the malachim themselves. As it says, I saw the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. They're like angels. They're like the serving angels. And they wear white, and they were begonim of linen. So the Malachim are wearing this, and to show that we're on that level of Malachim, so the Kayin Gadol wears that to be Medamah to Malachim. And not only that, as we spoke about in our Shir Erev Pesach, it says, and therefore it says the Ramah, that we all wear white garments on Yom Kippur, lilbosh levan and nekiyim b'yom kippur, dugmas malchei hasharis, to be like the malchei hasharis. So we understand that we're going to wear white because we want to be like the malchei hasharis. We're saying that on this day of Yom Kippur, we're like the malchei hasharis. So he brings from Yisrael Salanter, a famous vort from Yisrael Salanter. I didn't know there are three clauses, so I only knew one of them. Here's the three clauses. Say it in Yiddish, we'll say it in the written, then we'll say it in English. A mensch darf ton, und nicht noch ton, und nicht opton, ton, und nicht oifton. What does all that mean? Okay, so let's say it again. We'll do it now in Hebrew, then we'll do it in English.
Not overdo, not
what?
It's very clever.
Could you just say it one more time in Yiddish?
In Yiddish? Okay, say one more. Okay, no problem. Ton, und nicht noch ton. Ton unisht nachton. We'll see. We'll explain in a second.
Not to copy. Not to
right.
Copy.
Not to get. Right to imitate. Right. Unisht opton. Opton means to get it over with.
Yeah.
Unisht oifton, and not to accomplish. What does that mean? So it means, as we said, the first one means, he says, as he puts shloi, to do the loy l'chak is not just to imitate, not just to copy, but to do it because you really feel it's important, it's the right thing to do, and you're not just doing it because everybody's doing it, right? If you have a child comes to you,
right,
and he's doing something, you say, why are you doing it? What's his first thing? Everybody's doing it. Nachton. Right. So you're just falling, you're not doing it because there's anything in you, you don't have it, you know, you're doing it, everyone else is doing it. What's the second one? Upton. What's that? Last of all, lirtzosli potri, not just doing upton to get it over with. Just that, you know, I'm doing the mitzvah. You know, I got to get it over with.
I thought upton means to have revenge. Guy in upton.
It could be also. That might be.
No, but it's not.
That's not. It could be. I mean, Yiddish isn't good. But
get it over with.
to, and the third thing, lassos v'olishtoik lifol, that you're going to only do it if you're going to accomplish. You have to do it because it's the right thing to do.
What's the last word?
The last one is oifton.
To accomplish,
right. Last size to do, not to accomplish. You're doing because it's the right thing to do. And it's the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say whether you're going to accomplish. Sometimes people don't do things because I'm not going to accomplish, but it's the right thing to do. Sometimes you have to make a protest. You have to say it's wrong. I know he's going to listen. Sometimes you got to do it anyway. So that's what Rabbi Yisrael Santer says.
He says it on which pasuk?
No, he doesn't. He says that this is a piskum of Rabbi Yisrael Santer. It's an expression of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The only one I ever heard was a ton in this lifetime not to have to conjure. Now you hear two others. So he tells us three things. You shouldn't do it. You got to do it for the right reason, not to imitate. You got to do it for the right, to do it and not just to get it over with. And to do it, even if it's the right thing, even if you may not, it's not your job to accomplish, your job to do in the Ribbono Shel Olam will accomplish.
I just have a question. He spoke in Yiddish, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter?
Yeah, about it. This was in Yiddish.
Okay.
Yeah, he said it in Yiddish. So the question is going to be, is that if the purpose is to not to nisht nachton, in other words, that we're supposed to do it not to imitate, not to do just others, then who are we kidding? Are we really like the Malachi Asharis? In other words, we're putting on these white begadim, so we should look, we put on our kittel, we put on a white dress, whatever it is, we're white, so we should look like, I mean, isn't that a little bit like we're just imitating? Are we really doing, is that who we really are? And he brings two stories from the Gemara. Two well-known stories. The first was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, famously, "Kol yomai yisim mishamish es abba. I always serve my father." V'loshimashti also echem mimei sheshimis esav esav. And I didn't do it 100th that Esav did his father Yitzchak. Ani, what's the difference between me and him? B'shoa shel yisim mishamish es abba yisim misham big day begadim luchlachim. I would wear regular clothing. Regular, nothing special. When I went to a business meeting, you know, I went out to the derek to go somewhere. I used to make sure to wear very clean, you know, spiffy begadim. I wasn't, I was much more careful. People will see me. But Esav, when he used to go to his father, he used to do it only with royal garments. Omar inkvaydin shel abel yos misham shel big day malchus. Said Esav, my father, Yitzchak, the great Yitzchak of the Avos, I got to be Mishamish on the big day Malchus. So the question is obvious. What's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying? I never came to the Madrig of Esav, because Esav went with big day Malchus, and I used to go in Begadim Mechlachim, I went in whatever I was wearing. No, so go out and buy yourself some royal garments, buy yourself some beautiful clothes, and go and be Mishamish your father with the beautiful clothes. Why didn't you do that? If you're smart enough to say Avort, and you're smart to say that I didn't come to my, you know, Esav's toes, so do it. Do like Esav. So what's the answer? So he said, the answer is Shemen Yisaris Mitzidai Elakhiku Greda. If it's just imitation, it's just what we call Maisa Kaif Ba'alma. There's an example called Maisa Kaif Ba'alma, means the actions of a monkey. If you ever go to the zoo, and you go like this, right? So what does the monkey do? The monkey goes like this, right? And that's the fun of the monkey cage, is everybody likes to go to the monkey. The monkey will imitate whatever you do. That's called Maisa Kaif. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was an honest man. He says, I don't have that. I have to just serve my father regular. If I would be putting on the royal garments, it would be like Purim. There's a famous story about somebody who went in front of the Ger Rebbe. I don't know if it's true or not true if they say it, but that one of the Ger Rebbe's, and it was on, and there was one Shabbos, and you know he felt he's in Ger, so he should put on a shtreimel, a spodik, with a bekish, and so on. And everybody's walking past Friday night to give the Rebbe a good Shabbos. He says, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, Freilich and Purim, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. You know? So he pointed out to this person that, you know, if you're really not in the Madrega, that you're going to dress up like a chassid all the time, better not. Better not.
Do you know which Ger Rebbe this was?
No, I don't know. And I don't know if the story's true. I'm just saying, they say this story about, I don't know, one of the Ger Rebbe's, but it's a point that they make, whether...
Because pre-World War, people would come to Ger for Yantin.
And they put on a spodek.
No, frequently, like Ola Redelzain, to see to the Rebbe. So I was wondering if it was this
could
particular
be. Rebbe. I don't know. I don't know. I just know they say, shame, one of the Ger Rebbe's. So he says, but they didn't feel it. So he says, and there's another case he brings, there's another Tana, that Mar Ukfa said, I'm like my father, like Chaimetz Ben Yain. I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, because my father used to wait 24 hours between Fleishiks and Milchiks, and I don't wait, I'd like wait 6 hours. So they say, so why you, they wait a whole day. So he says, did he need, you know, Milchiks so badly and couldn't wait like his father, needed the cheat, you know, so let him wait also. And the answer is, he wasn't on that madrig. They were honest people. They were honest. They were saying, if I'm not on that level, I'm not going to daven a 2 hour Shemoneh Esrei if I'm not on a level to daven a 2 hour Shemoneh Esrei. I have to be who I am, and I have to be honest with myself. So he says, so what's pshat with the Kohen Gadol? How do we understand that? So he tells over a story that we said once before, but he uses it in a different context than we did before. He says, when he was in Siberia, so he says, Hayisib Siberia, he was a Machna Voida. So he says, there used to be, there not only were there Jewish people, but there were Lithuanians as well. They didn't, the Russians, when they invaded Lithuania, they took everybody. So he says, and not only were there people there, Lithuanians, he says, but there were some very high-level government officials that were there. And they were very tzibrachim, because here they are. They were, you know, they were the guy who stood at the head of the podium with the sash, you know, and they're the big hush of a people. And now Nebuchadnezzar, they're in this concentration camp with these yeshiva bachrim. So this was very, very devastating to them. So he says, one time, he got up very early in the morning. He woke up like, you know, 4 o'clock. He couldn't sleep, whatever. And he sees one of these people he knew that in Lithuania was one of the heads of government, one of the highest generals in the government. And he sees, he looks around. He sees everyone sleeping. And Rabbi Galinsky's looking out of the corner of his eye. And he sees that he goes over to a satchel that he has in a corner. And he takes out a general's uniform. And he puts on the general's uniform. And he sits there. And he makes like he's going with a sword, and he makes motions like this, and he goes salutes, and he does all sorts of military things. And then he looks around, puts it back in the bag, goes back into the bed to sleep. So he being, Rublinsky being the character that he was, not a shy person, went over to me after and said, what are you doing over here? What's pshat? So he says, listen, I know the world is a galgal hakayis. He didn't say those words, obviously. He says, I know the world comes and goes. And now the communists are on top, and they own the place, and I'm a nobody. But I know the day is going to come when they're going to let us out of this camp. I'm going to go back to being who I really am, and what I really am is a general in the Lithuanian army, and I want to never lose my feeling of who I am. So once in a while, I put on my uniform, and I make myself feel who I really, really am. So he says, that's really what Yidin are. He says, a Yid really... He says, Kaddish. He has a neshama, which is a Taradik neshama. What do we say every morning? Thank you, Hashem, for returning our neshama. We were born with a neshama tahira, shenasati b'tahirin. We are really somebody who's tahir. We're really a whole year. Really, it's the other way around. It's not that we're people and on Russia, and on Yom Kippur, we fake it that we're holier. No. Yom Kippur is who we really are. We really are people who are pure and holy with neshama tahira. And the rest of your Nebuchadnezzar gets... It gets fresh farts. It gets fresh schmutz. The pasuk in Shir Shirim says, "Shchayra ani v'nava, I am blackened, but I am beautiful. Ka'ale keder, like the tents of keder. Kiriyas shleima, like the Urias shleima." What does that mean? Ka'ale keder. Shchayra ani, says the Chazal. Shchayra ani b'masai, I'm blackened in my deeds. V'nava, but I'm beautiful b'maisa v'isai, in my parents' deeds, in the deeds of my fathers. That means when they gave birth to me, they gave birth to a holy neshama, they gave birth to a holy person, a person of great potential. And Nebuch, what can you do? Because things happen, you go through life, and it's like anything, you gotta, you know, you need to be cleansed every so often. But your internal, that's holy. It says, Kale Keder, what's the tense of Keder? Keder must have been a place with bad weather. It says the tents were always blackened on the outside. They were always, you know, the wind blew things against them. But the inside, they, with the Ole Keder, were very strong. And on the inside, things kept dry, things kept warm, things kept clean. So the outside, the Ohel, is fresh fart. But the Keder inside, the Ole Keder is good. Same thing, Uriah Shleima. The tent, what do we talk about? Curtains of Shleima. What's Uriah Shleima? Same thing. What's the purpose of a curtain? The curtain keeps the outside from blackening what's inside. It keeps the schmutz outside. So that's the way the schmutz was outside. The schmutz didn't go inside. So he says the real us is Yom Kippur. That's the real us. That's who we are. We are, when we come in Yom Kippur and we put on Big Day Love, and that's who we really are. We're not faking it. We're really that. And the rest of the year is who we aren't. And we look to that Yom Kippur and we put on the white in order to come back to remind like the general, say this is who we are. And we were talking about Pesach, we'd be sure before Pesach, we were talking about wearing the kittel, and that we wear a kittel on Pesach. The other time is I was thinking that maybe it's like, have Yom Kippur is once a year. Pesach is like halfway around the year from Yom Kippur. So halfway through, we also take time to purify ourselves. We sit for 8 days, you feel a certain kedusha. I know it takes a couple days till you forget about all the tzaras and work, but then after that, you can't even remember it anymore because you're so into the kedusha of the yontif. So therefore, that's what we put on the white kittel to show this is who we really are. We are really the Malach HaSharis. We're really that person. And the rest of the year, things happen. So he says, that's the pshat. He said, that's why we wear the big day love. That's the kind God wears the big day love, and to symbolize that we're like Malach HaSharis. What do you mean? The answer is no, we're not imitating. We're not copying. We're not faking it. That's who we really are. And Mitzvah Hashem, the kunz is to keep it going as long as we can. After the yontiv, keep that kedusha of the yontiv with us. We just passed, we just went through Pesach, and I believe that we probably all had a hisiris, and we all got somewhere from coming through Pesach, and Yitz Hashem, we'll be able to keep that Kedusha of Pesach going with us as long as we can. I'd like to turn to the end of the Parsha and go toward the last parak in the Parsha. We go to parak Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph, toward the end of the Parsha. It's page 338. And Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Dabriel bnei Yisrael v'amarta leim ani Hashem l'keichem k'masa eretz Mitzrayim, like the deeds of the land of Egypt, asher yeshavtem b'loy sasim, you shouldn't do. O k'masa eretz Canaan, asher ani mevi eschem, that I bring you there, lo sasim, you shouldn't do, u'b'chukosem lo seilechu, and you should not go in their unfortunate ways. Says Rashi, and this Rashi, as we spoke about the last time we read this pasuk, resonates with us here. Magid shemaisem shel Mitzrayim mekul kolam yikol umos. The deeds of Mitzrayim were worse than all the nations. The oisim makim shiyashu by Yisrael mekul kum yikol. And where the cloud you saw sat, that was the worst. Somehow, we always manage to end up, in the urban areas where it's, we never end up in the from places. I guess that's Hashem puts us there too. We should influence at least somewhat what's going on. So he says, but that was. So he says Mitzrayim was the worst. Frekta mal ralmi Prague. So wait a second. So Hashem says, don't do like Mitzrayim because that's the worst. That's bad as it gets. So by implication, says the Maharal, are we saying, oh, and if it's less than that's okay? We should say, don't do anything. Why do we pick Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is like saying, because they're the worst. Okay, so the worst you can't do, but not the worst, not so bad, that you can do. So how do we understand it? So he says something beautiful. He brings a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. They said for the Panav Zhirov. Panav Zhirov says like this, Mishnah Pirkei, Mishnah Yudalit. The Mishnah counts four midas b'hokhon l'beis medrash, four measures of those who go to the beis medrash. Hay levena isis, somebody goes and doesn't do. In other words, he goes to the beis medrash, he doesn't learn. He falls asleep, drinks coffee, whatever he does. But schar li biyado, but he still gets schar. Let me tell you something. It's still better to be in the beis medrash in a holy place, or for a woman to be at home in a holy place than to be out in the streets. So these are two ori miklat, for the house and the shul is the beis medrash, the ori miklat. So he said, but at least he gets schar, he went. What happens if he learns in his home and he doesn't go? Kegan shalom abayit, beis medrash, he basically lives at home. Schar ma'is to be on, at least he get for learning. If he goes and he does, chassid, he's a chassid. Rasha. If he doesn't go to the base medrash and he doesn't learn, nothing to talk about. The guy's a rasha. In fact, the Panav Zhirov says there are four midas, there are four measures of the people who go to the base medrash. If he doesn't go and he doesn't learn, so he has no shaykh to the base medrash. So why is he considered part of those four? Why should he be part of those four? So he answered like this. He says, a bacher is having a hard time learning in yeshiva. Panav Zhirov is yeshiva. The bacher is having a hard time learning yeshiva. And he's thinking of leaving. So he goes out to the street, and he sees what the people out there are doing, and he runs back into the beis medrash. And he says, oh, it's not for me. I see what goes on out there. It's not for me. So he says, That person gets schar. You know what schar gets? The person who didn't go to the Beis Medrash, and the person didn't because the Bacher saw him and was able to stay in the Beis Medrash because of him. It's sort of in a negative sort of way, he had an influence. I remember, I'll never forget, I've said this in the shir many times, when one of my kids was looking out the window one day, and he saw Nebuch, a child who was not often there, riding, you know, something on Shabbos, a skateboard, whatever. And his comment was, I don't want to be like that. I want to make something of myself. That's not somebody I want to be like. So he sort of, that person someday come up to Shemayim, and they'll give him some scar and say, what did I do? He'll say, well, you remember when you ride the skateboard and the guy said he became big Tom HaChacham because of you? So he says he was once speaking somewhere, and he says there was a non-firm reporter that was in the crowd, and he asked permission to ask the people questions. And he asked him, he says, what's a higher madrigal? He says, he asked the person, he says, did you grow up in a frum home? So he says, no, I'm a Baal Tshuva. So he says, what's a higher level? Baal Tshuva or somebody grew up in Bnei Brak? So obviously, we're all taught to learn that the Makon Shabali Tshuva, the main Sadiq Guru Nichon Lama, the Baal Tshuva is, of course, in a higher madrigal. So Baal Tshuva said, he says, Bacher in Bnei Brak is in the higher madrigal. He says, what? Why is that? He says, listen, I know what the street's like. I know that there's nothing there. I know that it's all shallow, and that there's really, it's just glitz, and it's nothing real. And I came running to Tyron. But this Bacher doesn't know that. He grew up in Bnei Brak. He just sees the glitz and thinks there's something there. And he still stays who he is, and he doesn't run after that. That's a very high madriga. That's something that we can emulate. I remember I once said a shir. I remember it was in 84 William Street, and I said this year, I remember exactly where they were standing, and I said, you know, oh, it's such a Nisayan, this, you know, there's certain things, what I didn't remember was, it was such a Nisayan, such a hard thing to resist, that whatever it was. And I remember one of the people from the shir came after me, and she said, that's because you grew up from. So you think there's something out there. I did not grow up from, and I know that there's nothing there that you think is there. You made a mistake. So I was in the same boat. So he says, that's what it means. When it says in the Pavi, Dabar Shal Moshe Lema, Dabar Yisrael V'Marta Aleim, K'mayis Eretz Mitzrayim, we pick the worst. He says, you should know that's where the end is. You're at the top of the hill. I want to show you what's like at the bottom of the hill. I'm going to show you. You're right. You go here, you'll think, oh, I'll go a little bit here, I'll go a little bit down, I'll go up and down. That's where you're going to end up. So we want to show you where the K'mayis Eretz Mitzrayim is. We want to show you the worst that it is. So just like the one in the Beis Medrash who says, I'm not going to leave the Beis Medrash because I see what it's like outside. Look at Mitzrayim. Look at what's the worst. Don't look at something that's okay and not so bad. And it's, because ultimately, that's the end of Eretz Mitzrayim. If you take a look at movements like the conservative movement, the reform, they all started out with the tiniest little thing. Don't say you come pork on, you know, you'll do this a little bit different than that. And then, but once you're on the path, once you're on the slope, once you're what they call the slippery slope, unfortunately, you end up at the bottom, and that's what the Torah is telling us. That's why we're always talking about my Eretz Mitzrayim. You should know where Chas V'Shalom it could all end. Okay, let's do one more thing, and this is very beautiful. And this will take us back to Sefer Bereishis, which we always love to go to. Take a look at Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, the next Pasuk we did so far, Aleph Beis Gimel, Es Mishpatai Tasu V'Shukaisai Tishmu L'Lechaz Ben. You should do the Mishpatim, you should do the Chayk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm Hashem your God. What does it say? What's the repetition, Ani Hashem Elokeichem? So says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, it says, Shel Yikava Odom L'Schar Mitzvahs Ba'olam Hazeh. It's teaching us, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be looking for reward in this world. Al Derech Amru Hayoyim La'Saisim. Now we do it in this world, but we get skar. You have to be very careful in this world not to eat up your world now by taking too much skar. If you get too much reward, be careful. So listen to this. I don't know. I would say collectively in this room, we have probably benched a million times. I don't know. I mean, if everybody here takes all the benching we've all done since we're children, it's a lot. So listen to you. I'm not going to tell you something in benching, and you'll tell me if you've ever heard it. What do we say in benching right before Al Yechasreinu? We say, Hu Yimleinu La'ad, Hashem should reward us, L'chein, L'chesed, for grace, for chesed, l'rachamim, for mercy, l'revach, and should be open, revach hatzala, open to be saved, v'atzlacha, bracha, yeshua, nechama, parnas, chalkala, right? All these wonderful things that we get, rachamim, v'chaim, v'shalom, v'chal ta'iv, when we call tuva alayim l'chastreinu. And from all that good, don't detract from our schar. We just asked you, Hashem, we just asked you an amazing, I didn't count it, but it's probably around 15 different amazing hatzlacha and, you know, good health and wealth and time to enjoy it and everything, right? And then we give a little tefillah, lo'ayim l'chasreinu. So Rebbe Lapian says, what is the pshat? Why are we saying lo'ayim l'chasreinu? So he tells a story. The Gemara tells in Sanhedrin that when Rabbi Elazar was sick, so the Talmidim came to Vakar Chayla. And he said to him, Shepagaba Midas Adin be Yisurim Nairayim, that the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice, was giving him tremendous pain, and he was in agony. And they all cried. And of course, who laughed? Rabbi Kiva laughed. Rabbi Kiva laughed. So of course, you know, we talk about something that seems to be so discordant. You know, there's a dissonance here. So they asked him, what are you laughing about? So listen to what he said, genius. Kozman Shir is his Rebbe. When I saw the Rebbe, Sheno Yeno Machmitz, his wine never spoiled, Vein Pishdan Aloika, and his linen never got ruined, Vein Shamna Mavish, and his oil never dried up, Vein Devashim Miskalkal, and his honey never got ruined, Amarti Shemachas Vashon Kibel Rebbe Olam Bechayim. I said, oi, I got to worry now. The Rebbe must have, everything's going good for him. It's going wildly good. I'm going to have to worry. He's going to use it all up, his schus, in this world. So when I saw that you're having some problems, so I said, oh, Baruch Hashem. So you're going to be able to get to Olam Haba. You're going to get there clean the way you're supposed to be. So that's the way Rabbi Akiva looks at everything with a positive spin. And he says, that's a pshat. We call tuv l'olam chasreinu. Please, Hashem, we ask for all this good, but don't let it detract from what we have. So listen to this. There's a story we know, the famous story between Leah and Rachel. You go back all the way to Bereishis, Parsha Vayetze, page 86. He answers with this a tremendous question that all the Mefarshim ask, and there are many, many different trutzim. Some of them we've been zeis even to say here in the shir. Take a look. It's the top line by Revi, Pasuk Yudal. Vayelad Ruven b'mektzir chitim v'yimtza dudayim. Reuven goes out and he finds the famous legendary mandrakes. Basada vayave asam elei imai, and she brings it to Leah, his mother. Vatayma Rachel elei, and Rachel says to Leah within the same pasuk, so it must have been quick. Tani na li medudai b'nei, give me some of them. You know, it's derecher, she doesn't give me all of them.
Tani na.
Page 86. Says, nu tani na li, please, first of all, she brings derecher, please. Medudai b'nei, from them. In other words, I don't want all of them, give me some of them. And Leah answers, and we're astonished at the answer. Vatimer lo hamaat kach dechaz ishi, you took my husband, lo kach has gan as dudayim, and now you want to take the dudayim of Bani? So what would you think, Leah, what do you think Rachel would answer? What do you think I would answer? I'd be speechless. Do you know the story of why you're married to him? I took your husband.
Yeah.
You know why he's your husband? Because I gave him up.
Yeah.
And he had to work another 7 years. What are you talking about? What does she say? She schweigt, right? My mother used to say, Zog garnished. She says nothing. So he said, so she tells her back, okay, we'll make up that you can have Yaakov. And she doesn't answer. And the Mefarshim are astonished. How could she not answer? How did she hold herself back? Why did she hold herself back? So this is what he says, based upon what we just learned. We don't sell a good deed for a few pennies. To tell her all that happened, she would give up her schar. Some of her schar would go away because now she would get credit for it. Now she'd be telling about it. Now she'd be boasting about it. I don't want that. I want the scar of what I did. I don't want to say a word. If you want to take it out on me, I'm willing to handle it. But I don't want it to become known. So therefore, she, in order not to lose any scar from this maisa, she kept quiet. So the question is still, maybe she just was like a quiet person. Maybe she was a retiring person. Maybe she didn't have the the Azas, sometimes there are certain people that find it very hard in this type of situation to answer. So they just keep quiet because they don't have the stolz, they don't have the guts to answer. How do we know that the reason she didn't answer was this reason? So listen to what he says. Kishachar Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash was charev hal Yirmiya va'ar menuchasim, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Yirmi was trying to get mercy for the Klal Yisrael. So with the famous Gemara that he went to the Avos and he went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the one who defended the Klal Yisrael came running forward was who? Rachel. Va'amr b'medrash in the beginning of Eicha, va'ayisisha kafts Rachel yimeinu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she ran in front. It's worth reading this inside. Yaakov avdecha avani ava aza. You should know he loved me, a fierce ava. Va'avad bishvil li la'ava shev sham. He worked for me 7 years. And it came time to get married to my husband, so my father went to switch me, and it was hard for me. But I told my vahadati labali masati lo simon shiaker beni ben achaisi, and I made a simon between me and my husband. And then what did I do? And I gave the simon to my sister, so she shouldn't have bezionis from it. And he says like this. He says, and I was never mekana my sister. I never was jealous of her, says Rachel. V'ata melechai v'kayim, you Hashem are melechai v'kayim. Rachman, merciful. Why should you be jealous of Vayitz Kachavim? Shame, but mamsh, there's nothing there. V'glesi banai v'nergo b'cherav, and you did all of this. Look at me. Look at what I did. And I didn't get jealous. So why, Kadosh Baruch Hu, are you jealous? So what does Kadosh Baruch Hu say? It says, Kol Barama, the famous Pasuk, Kol Barama Nishma, Nei Bechi Samrunim, bitter crying, Rachel Mavaka Baneha, Mian Li Nachim, Al Baneha, Ki Enenu, Kayamar Hashem, Mini Kayla Mi Bechi, stop your voice from crying, Veinayach Medima, your eyes from tears, Kesh Sachl Pulosech, everything you've done is rewarded, Vesh Tikval Akrisech, there will be hope in the end, Shavaban Li Vulam, and the children will come back because of you. So Rachel wasn't shy. Rachel was willing to start up with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. She was willing to tell him off, kivyachol, and say, how's this possible? Look what I did. So she didn't do it because she was shy, but she did it because she knew when it was worth it. She had to make a decision. When am I going to pull in my chips? When am I going to do something with it? So when it comes to a point where I'm going to just to tell layoff and I'll get, you know, that's not worth it. To lose my schar for this maisa that I did, and she was smarter to know what a maisa she did, I'm not going to do it. But to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, protect the Jewish people, that I am willing to do it. So the schar is there. It's not that we're not looking for the schar. The schar is there, but we have to know when to use the schar. We have to use it to protect the Jewish people, to do for the Jewish people. And then that will make, and that was Rachel Imenu. Nihi Bechi Samrunim, Rachel Mavakal Banel. That was Rachel's greatness, that she was able to do it. She knew when to sit, keep quiet, but she also knew very much when to talk. And that's the inyan of being able to say something. That's how you have to know. And that's what it says, that when we give schar, be careful with that schar. But don't let go of the schar. Use the schar when you can, and you can make all the difference. The average is a whole, and we shall learn. You know, we had like an extra schar. We got to hear about Rachel Leigh in the middle of Parshas Akrei Mais.